beware, contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent.
And then we do a little survey and you vote. And then Daniel or I have to work the title into the episode. So we like to choose those before we
wait,
do. So
we like if to, you guys we like to, could, wait, we like to do what to them?
Choose
them? Okay.
Choose them. Yeah, we like to choose them. We like to pick. Go to pickpete.com. We like to pick a title. And so what we would like you to do right now, all you guys know what you're supposed to do. Preface it with the word title so that I know that you're giving us a title, and then put any title suggestions that you have. Please try to leave out the expletives or anything that iTunes would asterisk out, but you can begin now.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Star Trek. Hey, 50 years old. I was going to say still going strong, but it's not really. It's not really going. There's a new thing, but you have to sign up for a stupid thing. So who knows, really, what you're going to. And that last movie was kind of ho-hum. So really, I just kind of feel bad for them sponsoring us tonight. But, you know, hey, that's what it is. Make sure you check them out at StarTrek.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for a futuristic discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Star Trek Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. You know, speaking of Star Trek, I did want to mention this right off the bat because I listened to the Anti-Vera Charles program.
Wait, this the what? Week. What is that?
The Anti-Vera Charles program.
Is that the show where the old lady picks on the mentally handicapped person and like basically just like makes his life miserable?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, something like that. Although the mentally handicapped person was not there this week because he's off visiting someone or something. I don't know. But anyway, Auntie Vera put a he does this thing called a bleed, and I'm using air quotes here. A bleed is a blog post that was previously written by him that he then reads.
It's titled that way because if you were to read it yourself, your eyeballs would bleed. So he's doing it for you.
Right. And he read one about Star Trek and about how he had a kind of a strained relationship with his father.
I've heard this particular one before. Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know if I had ever heard it before because I didn't listen to the earlier episodes of Auntie Vera or Vera Speaks for Real. Mm-hmm. Go to VeraSpeaks.com to listen to, you know, to get those episodes. But anyway, I don't know if I'd listened to the earlier ones. And it reminded me that I also used to watch Star Trek with my father, but apparently they were reruns by the time I watched them because I was not. But I used to, my dad worked, he worked late a lot of times and he would come home and I would get to stay up late one night a week to watch Star Trek with him.
Nice. I did not watch Star Trek with my family. I remembered it being on after school during my childhood. So I would come home, there'd be like Gilligan's Island and Star Trek and, you know, all those syndicated shows that were, on every day at 3 o'clock on your local UHF channel. And I watched it that way. I was never really a fan of the original series. It was not until Next Generation that I truly became a Star Trek fan. Now, there's another elderly podcaster. I don't know if you're aware of him. His name is Big Fatty, who collects plates. So if you have any old Star Trek plates that you want to, you know, that you're just not using, that might be in your attic or something, like, make sure you send them to the Fat Villa, P.O. Box, I don't know, F.A.T., Charleston, South. I'm pretty sure if you just labeled it as Big Fatty, Charleston, South Carolina, it would get there, I think.
And you're fine. Thank you for asking. By the way.
Wow. Look at you. You know, you started, little behind the scenes here, folks. We did an episode of the Finding Prince Charming recap show. The very first, the inaugural episode of the Finding Prince Charming recap. We did it right
Isn't
before
it just
this show.
Charming
tonight.
Recap?
Well, no, that would be the website. But the title of the show is the Finding Prince Charming recap. Here's the thing. When you name the show with the exact title of the show that you're recapping, it helps you a lot when people search for it. Anyway, the point is that, so we did this recap show tonight, and Adam was in such a pissy mood for that. And I think this is now carrying over.
Well, it's not in the Trello, but since you brought it up.
Yes.
Since you brought it, and I'm not in a bad mood. I was just trying to fix, because you forgot. I've tried to, what's it called where I tee it up.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for you to like whatever putt or whatever you do when you tee somebody
some
up.
Some sports analogy
then,
thing. Yeah, go sports.
And then,
yeah.
You know, and I used to step all over it and and then I'm trying to tee you up, and every time I tee you up perfectly, you forget.
To say, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, exactly. I wasn't mad. I was just finishing it. But since you brought up the whole Prince Charming, yes. let me just tell you.
Tell me.
So I don't know if we've mentioned it on this show, but you guys asked me. You guys do RuPaul's Drag Race Recap, and there was a request by someone, your sponsor. Hey, had you guys thought about doing a recap show for this Prince Charming show, this Finding Prince Charming show on Logo?
Yes.
If you do, I would like to sponsor it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look up to both you and Joe Batance, and I've wanted to be in the N Club for quite some time, you know. And then you guys come to me and, you know, you ask me if I wanted, you're like, hey, Adam, would you like to? Because our preference, Taylor, could not do the show with us.
No, that is not, no, Taylor wasn't going to watch the show.
And so you ask me, and I get all excited. Like, I'm really excited, and I'm like, yeah, of course, definitely. I want to do this. I any show that you guys do, I would do a Toe Jam recap with you and Joe Batance. Anything you guys want to do, I idolize both of you. And then we were going to do it Friday night, and Sundays are really busy for me. And then both of you guys flake out on Friday night, and I, being the selfless person that I am, I said, oh, you know, no problem. I know I normally eat dinner at 7 o'clock, you know, on a Sunday right before Dubious Intent. But I'm like, you know, Daniel has some leather thing to go to. Joe probably has a taco truck that he needs to, you know, attend to.
To wash. Yeah.
Yes, something. Yeah. I don't know.
Joe Batance's taco truck wash. Come on down. Get your taco truck wash. Yeah.
I will do it. And then and all day long I was like rushing around, because Sunday is like the busiest day of my weekend. I'm like rushing around.
Busiest day of the week.
Because I have two services of church in the morning.
With my Jesus and services and playing the trumpet and eating my lunch.
Right.
And I don't have time for your stupid podcast recap.
And then I do show prep for Dubious Intent, and we eat lunch, and we do laundry, and we bathe the dog, and we go grocery shopping, and then we do yoga. And, you know, and then I'm trying to fit in eating somewhere, and I couldn't figure out what to eat because all the restaurants were too far away.
I feel so bad, Adam. I feel so bad. You could have told us any of this,
but I was,
if I can quote you on Friday.
No, I said
that's
fine.
That's fine.
I did. It's my fault. Then we get, and look, I was excited to do this show. Like I really was excited to do the show with you. Mm-hmm. But then, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, after going through all of that, I come in, I sit down, and Joe Batance picks up the phone, or, you know, the Google Hangout, and goes, all right, let's get this crap show started. This is the only one we're ever going to do. Let's just get it over with. I'm so sick of this shit. I'm not doing this ever again. Do you guys know how much time? And, you know, and Adam had to do nothing but, you know, put on his headphones and walk in here. So I was a little, you know, I'm like, I was excited about doing it. I was like busy all day, and I came in here, it was like, well, you know, Adam, this is going to be the only episode we ever do. So, you know.
Hello. Can I help you?
Hello. This is Prairie Dog. I have a call for the Celebrity Death Line.
Yes.
It seems Gene Wilder has died. Famous actor known for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Young Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, depending on how you pronounce it. Anyway, dead at the age of 83, it appears.
Wow.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know what, Adam? I don't think this has ever happened in the history of the celebrity death phone.
I don't think it has either.
And what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is when you call our voicemail line, it gets downloaded with a timestamp. So whenever you hang up there, that's the actual timestamp is actually on your call. We actually have two phone calls with the exact same timestamp that happen to be tied for the winner here. So Prairie Dog, first of all, yes, you get that. But wait, there's another one. This came in at the exact same time.
Hey, Dubious Intense, this is Nico calling for the death phone. Seems Gene Wilder died at 83 today. He had Alzheimer's. Rather sad.
Yes.
Yeah, that is sad. It's been a sad week. That's it.
That's it.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I know, not very exciting of me. I am not very energetic at the moment.
Aw.
I'll be more entertaining next time I call in for some poor sad person who's died. Hi.
You know, okay,
here's
Nico.
Here's the funny thing. Well, if Nico had left off the epilogue, he would have won because it would have put him like, you know, 30 seconds sooner or something, or 20 seconds sooner. Anyway, congratulations, Nico. Were they both reading a script too? Because it's like Gene Wilder seems to have died. It's like, really? Really? You both chose to say seems to have died?
And, you know, and I would have, and I even looked. I looked on, because they, I mean, it's a long, complicated thing, but I have a script that runs and it names them. And I thought maybe I only went to the second, but maybe if I look over at Google Voice, which is where they actually come in,
right,
it will get further. It'll get more granular. And it doesn't.
Right. It goes only to the second. It doesn't go to the tenth of a second. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah. That. So that, they tied. I have no, you know.
Just for the record, those both came in at, let's see. 8:29 at 14:44. Oh, I don't see the second, so that's just hour and minute.
14:44. Oh yeah, sorry, it doesn't go to second. Yeah, it just goes to minutes.
At 1:44 PM, whatever time our voicemail is in. Whatever time zone our voicemail is in.
2:44. 14:44 would be 2:44.
Yeah, but it might be 1:44 in a different time zone. Anyway, so 2:44. I don't do military time. So there you go. Exciting.
Well, congratulations to both of you. You've both been entered in. But what I did do, since it was a tie, is each one of you got $1 entered into the pot.
Oh.
I mean, that doesn't affect your prize.
It doesn't affect anything. That's silly.
You still will get the same prize, but we don't want to inflate the pot too much.
I hate it when the pot gets inflated. Anyway, Adam, you know, as you know, by the end of the Finding Prince Charming recap show, we had decided, you know what, we'll do more. But here's the thing.
I know what's going to happen. It's going to be a thing, though.
No, but here's the thing. This is our main concern, right, is that we had a sponsor who was just like, hey, we want to pay you guys $300 to, you know, sponsor, to talk about us on your podcast. And that was like a big holdup, right? Because like they wanted to do at least two shows. So we had to like, you know, talk about them. And we're like, well, if we really hate the show, maybe we won't do two shows. And it was just like this whole big, you know, sword of Damocles like hanging over our head, like, ugh, well, we're contractually obligated to do this. And it's like, so I was just like telling Batance, I'm like, you know what? Just tell them we don't want the money. Just tell them, forget it. We're not going to, you know, save their money and blah, blah, blah. He was just like, that's how bad this show is, Adam. Someone offered us $300 to talk about
it.
We're like, no, we're good. Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know what's going on with the money. I don't know. I don't really care one way or the other. It's just kind of one of those.
If I even get $1 for doing this podcast, I can then say that I'm a professional podcast.
That's true. That is true.
You know, I can list it on my resume because I've actually gotten paid for a podcast. It's not like I get paid for this show.
Well, there you go, Adam. Absolutely. You can put on, you know, in fairness, I guess, you could do that.
I can say I was a professional porn star because I got paid.
I feel like we mentioned them in our show tonight, but I don't think we really mentioned them in any kind of big way. Plus, we don't yet have our own site or whatever. So I don't know. It's just kind of like one of those. It reminds me of a joke that was made at the Star Trek convention where Marina Sirtis made the joke. He's just like, you know, couldn't you imagine like the Borg cube just like hovering over Earth and just like vaporizing Donald Trump? And then Michael Dorn said, no, what it'd be is like he would go up to the Borg and say, I'm ready to be assimilated. And the Borg would be like, no, we're good. Anyway, Oh, it was a political joke, Adam. It was a political joke. I don't know if you caught that.
I caught it. I caught it.
Adam,
that it
by
was
the
political.
Way,
yeah.
What do you think of Aleppo?
A what?
Uh-huh.
What's that? I don't know. I don't know what that is. And later I'm going to go back and I'm gonna say, oh, well, you know, sorry, I didn't know. I slipped up. I didn't know what that was. I guess I'll have to learn what it is.
So, you know, we had a big holiday weekend. I don't know if you know this or not.
I do know that. I do.
And I believe that you, when we last left our intrepid hosts of this show, we knew that I was going to go to the woods. We knew I was going to go to the campground for Labor Day and with the New York
Well,
folks.
As you do, because you are a big, burly, like, masculine, you know, camping
I'm
sort of man
a lumberjack
now.
And I'm okay. But see, we didn't know what you were going to do. You had still, by the time that we had recorded that show, had no idea where you wanted to go. Somewhere with sand is all I remember. Adam, where did you go for Labor Day? We're all dying to know. Where we go?
Well, nowhere with sand.
Oh.
Although, you know, isn't silver dollars, isn't there a type of seashell or something? A sand dollar? Oh, it's a
yeah,
sand
it's a
dollar.
Sand
Dang
dollar.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was close. Well, okay. So we were going to go to Florida. We were going to drive to Florida, or we were going to go to Austin or Nashville. Nashville has no sand. Austin does have a lake where they do have a nude beach.
Yes.
And, you know, there's not much sand, but it is a beach. It's kind of a rocky beach, but there's a lake there. Anyway, Nashville was just another place we haven't been together, so we had kind of a list, and they were all within driving distance.
Yeah, we were a big fan of the TV show, so we thought we'd go there.
And my parents usually keep Sydney when we go on a trip. And a few days before we were set, we didn't even know. I think we were just going to like look at the map on Friday evening after we got off work and just kind of, you know, blindfold each other and, you know, point to a place within a certain distance and just drive there.
You guys have the weirdest little sexual things. It's like you had that whole Paul Revere thing, and now you're like blindfolding each other on a Friday night. It's like
that's what we do. Blindfold and Whataburger, you know. I guess we were going to do that because he did not want to plan anything because he planned most of. I chose Hawaii, but he planned most of the trip. Right. And I guess he was not in a planning mood to plan another one. So. And I was too busy. I didn't plan anything. So I was like, we'll just decide and we'll just get in the car and go. No big deal. But then we called my mom and they were going to be out of town and could not keep the dog.
Right.
So by then it was too late. We couldn't get a boarding place they're all booked up by then. So, and I really don't like putting her in a, you know, they stick them in cages and I don't like doing that. So I said, okay, well, let's just do a couple of day trips. We both play Pokemon Go. We'll go to a couple of places that are within driving distance, where a couple of 2 to 3 hours, we'll do a thing. We'll hunt Pokemon somewhere where we haven't been before. And then we'll come back home, you know, sleep at home. And then the next day we'll go somewhere else. So the first day we went to Tulsa and we went to the zoo because I'm a big fan of zoos. And not much really. I don't have a lot to say about that, but
The Tulsa, Oklahoma Zoo, does it have like a water buffalo? Like what's the big attraction at the Tulsa, Oklahoma Zoo?
They have everything that any other zoo has.
I'm assuming Oklahoma is like a deep red state. I'm assuming that do they have these animals came from Noah's Ark. It's like, do they have like some kind of hidden biblical message in the,
I would say the only message they had was a typical zoo message. They had a big conservation sort of theme. They had a whole area, whole building, you know, conservation, education, all that kind of stuff. But no, there was nothing, you know, biblical or anything. But I will get to biblical in a second. However, there was nothing biblical in the zoo.
No, there's no zoo biblicalness.
No. Elephants.
Gary in the chat room is pointing out that Kentucky is the one with Noah's Ark. Yeah, I do want to go see the Noah's Ark thing, by the way. Although I feel like I've already seen it because I've seen all the YouTube videos of people making tours of it, and it looks like really fucking lame and whatnot. But anyway, I'm so sorry.
The first animal we saw was this huge grizzly bear.
Size queen.
Huge. I mean, huge. It was like, you ever watch that show, Grizzly Adams?
Yeah. It has a grizzly bear on it.
It was like that. I mean, it was like that. It was like they had Ben from Grizzly Adams. It was huge. Then they had, you know, elephant. They had tigers. They had literally had lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my! Yeah. Exactly.
They had rhinoceri. They had everything. Anything. They had a lot of really cool snakes and lizards. They had this huge anaconda. I mean, this gigantic anaconda. It was big, like really big. And they had some like 150-year-old tortoises or anything. Anyway, and we caught a bunch of Pokemon. They had a lot of. I think they had a lot of Slowpokes there. That's a Pokemon, by the way. That's not.
What?
A Pokemon.
What was it called? What kind of Pokemon was it called?
It was a Slowpoke.
I'm playing some this is live sounds from the Tulsa, Oklahoma Zoo right here.
So, well, they had a big one. Don't want none unless you got buns, hun. It was a huge anaconda. Mm-hmm. And then they had a huge monitor lizard. And so that was fun. We had a really good day. It was really good. We both enjoy playing Pokemon. I like to see the animals.
I was very upset about the monitor lizard's just complete whitewashing in the historical film Zootopia. It's like I figured that the monitor lizard would be like, you know, the police dispatcher or something like that, like, you know, like a lizard like listening to the headsets or whatever. But no. It's like they just completely whitewashed that out of the historical documentary film Zootopia.
So someone, Cyclone in the chat room, says China doesn't allow pandas to go to Kentucky. Now, the one thing they were missing is pandas, but they were working. There was a whole area of construction where they were working on like an Asian sort of area. So maybe they're going to have pandas there once they get that completed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So anyway, it was fun. We had a good time and we ate dinner there.
The Asian area in the Tulsa, Oklahoma Zoo. It's that's going to be the height of Asian culture right there.
And we can't all the zoos, you know, they have the little area with the different Asian animals.
But I'm just wondering. I bet you they'll have like a little like a little Asian themed restaurant there where you could probably get, you know, General Tso's chicken or something.
Yeah, exactly. So that was fun. And then the next day, we had never been.
Yeah, Panda Express. Thank you, Jimmy Bear. Panda. They probably have the Panda Express set up there at the Tulsa, Oklahoma Zoo.
We had never been to Silver Dollar City. And Silver Dollar City is a theme park in Branson that is, I thought, you know, it's just a really country. They have a lot of, I had never been there, but I knew one of their claims to fame, they have different artisan sort of areas where they have like a baker, they have real live blacksmiths.
The only way to escape outlaws was to outride them. That time is now. Silver Dollar City presents Outlaw Run, the first wood coaster in the world to twist upside down three times. The only one of its kind with a drop this steep and speeds that leave the bad guys in the dust. The new Outlaw Run, only at Silver Dollar City. Let's ride.
You go first.
Yeah, did you ride it?
Now, we did, actually. I'll talk about that. But I knew it was a country western, and I knew the claim to fame was, you know, the bakery where they have classes, and they show you how to bake bread, and they have a blacksmith, and they actually do little lessons where they show you how they do blacksmithing, and they have a glass blower.
You're like putting a weird emphasis on the word black there. Blacksmithing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You know what? That was going to interrupt my story, but yours went really long, sir. So I'm sorry about that. I was just kind of...
Yeah, hi, guys.
I can't control it.
Celebrity Death Phone. Actor Hugh O'Brien. Settle down, Vera. I said Hugh, not Drew.
Look at that.
Norman on Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, dead at 91. Bit of trivia. He was also the last person that John Wayne shot on screen in all his roles.
There you go.
Okay. Bye.
Adam, Drew O'Brien is dead.
Yeah. I'm so sad.
I know. It's so sad. Poor Gooch.
Now, did he churn some ice cream before dying?
I'm not really sure. Yes or no on the Drew O'Brien?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I love the research. I love the research that our listeners put in, you know, when they call in on these. They're like
the last person that John Wayne shot on screen.
Exactly. Well, and you know, that ties so well into our story because John Wayne was in Westerns and Silver Dollar City is kind of a Western theme.
Look at that.
So anyway, we get there and this place is like as big as, I'll say, like Disneyland or something. It's like, it's huge.
All right, so big as Disney World then, because Disney World,
which I mean, not the biggest one, but the, No, I mean, it's as big as like the smaller one of the two.
Okay, Disneyland.
But I mean, I won't say as big as Disney World, but big. And we get there and the parking is already jam packed. And so we're parking like out in, you know, lot five or something. And they have the whole trolley system like Disney has and all that. And we go in and we go in. The first thing you see is like this bakery where you smell these wonderful cinnamon rolls and all this kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. you walk through a gift shop and you go in.
Now, did you know on Main Street USA, they actually pump the smell of vanilla out into near the ice cream parlor?
I think there? I've heard that. Yeah, I think I've heard that. And well, you know, it worked because on the way out, we stopped and got a couple of cinnamon rolls to take home with us.
There you go.
But we walk in. Anyway, you get in.
That's not the first area. That's not like some kind of weird racist euphemism, right? Like you didn't like pick up like two like Indonesian no. boys. It's like, well, we call cinnamon rolls.
We got cinnamon rolls, like the big, fat, you know, juicy cinnamon rolls that you get. And we go in. We walk in, Daniel, and yes. you know, we don't hear this wild Western sort of music or anything like that, like you would expect. We walk in, and the first thing I hear, there are three old men standing on a stage right in the middle, and we hear, "When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." So I mean, this is we go in.
Are you talking about this song right here? This is from the made famous by the Statler Brothers.
Yeah, this sounds like a slow version of it, but
when the trumpet of the
yes.
Lord shall sound and time shall be the whole, and the morning.
So they were singing a religious song when you got
yeah.
there to the Silver Dollar City. Yes.
Now, I could be wrong. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, and then we see all these walking around. We see all, you know, the women, the Pentecostal women have like the 6 foot long hair that's in a bun on top of their head.
And weren't you there on a Sunday? Isn't this like a sacrilege for them to be there on a Sunday?
we were there on a Sunday, but it was a holiday. I don't know if that matters. Or the day before a holiday. I'm not sure if that matters. But anyway, now in their defense, we did go on like All Saints picnic weekend or something.
There you go.
I don't know. So maybe it's like, not this religious like all the time.
Right. That's like going to Disney World on like Night of Joy, which is their big Christian art rock band weekend or whatever, and going like, wow, Disney World's really Christian now. And it's just like, no, it was the weekend.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know it's very country, but I didn't realize it was going to be like Gospel Fest USA or something. So we go. And then like everyone there are like families and people that I know are homophobes. I mean, we're like the only homos in this park, right?
No, were you wearing your collars or your t-shirt? Were you wearing any identifiable homosexual accoutrement?
No, but I mean, the fact that, you know, we're two guys walking together with no pregnant women with us and, you know, and he's Asian. I don't know.
You could have said that you were a missionary and that this is your visiting. I don't know. You adopted him for 50 cents a day.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I felt a little bit strange. And we went around and most of the rides were kind of meh. But now that that Outlaw Run.
There was a time.
That is really a good roller coaster.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. That was probably one of the last ones that we rode. And it is for a wooden. I'll tell you something. If you're a roller coaster aficionado, mm-hmm. Wooden roller coasters are the bumpiest roller coaster.
They're supposed to, yeah.
You will ever. I mean, you feel like
the idea. Yes, it's
you.
It is the definition of a good wooden roller coaster is that you should feel like you're going to fly off the track at any moment. Like that, it feels like that you're not safe, that this thing is just going to rickety, you know, it's going to shake itself off the track at any point. That is the definition of a good wooden roller coaster.
Yeah, well, that's what that one felt like. And it was the biggest drop that I've ever made on a wooden roller coaster. There's a wooden roller coaster in Six Flags in Dallas that's pretty good. But anyway, it was a really good roller coaster. We caught a lot of Pokemon there also. Now, the one I saw a glass blower.
Yeah.
Took some video of a glass blower. That was interesting. But the one event that
what was he blowing?
Glass.
No, but what was he making? Was he making
like a vase
like
or
a vase,
something?
I mean,
yeah,
just fluted vase.
Something like that. Yeah, it was interesting. It was really hot in there. I mean, they had like...
Well, yeah, it had to be hot enough, Adam, to melt sand. So I'm guessing that it was probably pretty hot in there.
They had five different ovens along the wall.
Yeah.
And they were all different temperatures. And they had the temp like 2,500 degrees and like 3,500 degrees and like all this stuff. And, you know, they open the door and it looks like the bowels of hell, you know, and they put this glass
which
in
is,
there.
Which is, you know, it's appropriate for a religious theme park to have that kind of a thing. There, going there, like, hold on, Adam, hold that thought for just a second. Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Joey Buhacker for the Celebrity Death Phone.
All right, so what else happened at your thing?
All right, well, Joe Batance, I guess you shouldn't pretend to be Joey Buhacker when you call in.
All right, fine, whatever. Well, hold on.
It breaks my heart, but nationally acclaimed syndicated radio host and licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Joy Brown, dead at 71. Daniel, don't make fun of this, Daniel. She was an important figure in my life. And if anyone else out there is grieving about the death of Dr. Joy Brown, please, please call today 1-855-99-DR-JOY and share your grief. It's a normal part of the process. And let's talk about it after the break.
Not one of his best, but Dr. Joy Brown, yes.
Was she still on the radio? I know who that is, but I mean, was she still on the radio?
So, yeah, she's still heard on numerous radio stations in the USA and Canada, says her Wikipedia
page. Well, not now.
Well, I'm just reading what it says on her Wikipedia page.
She's in rerun, a permanent rerun. So the most interesting thing that happened to me is we're in this park, all these religious people.
Yes.
And this woman, this fat woman, you know, the people who, well, and I'm sorry for those of you who think I'm being weightist or whatever you want to call it. I apologize. But you know, the people who, there's nothing wrong with them, but they feel like they need to ride those hover round type things. You know what I'm talking
about?
You
mean like in Vegas,
like Wendy, exactly. Like Wendy Cameron.
I was going to say Vera in Vegas. Well, that's but
yeah, exactly. So there's this older woman and she's riding this thing and Mark and I are like walking down this path and it was very busy that day. I mean, it was packed. There were just wall-to-wall people. And we hear this woman go, "Get out of my way," you know, something like that. And then this other girl and Mark and I are like looking around because we think she's talking to us. And she goes, "You know, you got in my way, you know, get out of my way. I wouldn't run into you if you didn't get in my way." And all this, you know, they're like yelling at this. And this other girl goes, she's like, "You need to learn how to walk." And then this is the one who's riding in the hover round. And the other woman turns back to her and she goes, "At least I can walk, old bitch," or something like that. And I'm like,
I just love that you're recapping some kind of bizarre incident on the street between two women.
Yeah, and then, you know, in the background you hear, "And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there," you know.
At Silver Dollar City, do they have the Salty the Singing Songbook Parade? Do they do that, like, in the afternoon?
Not that I know of.
Stay together and stay on the trail. Susie, turn me to page 24 and let's sing our way up the mountain.
My pleasure.
Here they go. They're going to sing their way up the mountain. Do they have this?
We're going camping now. We're on our way. We're going to climb up the mountain. Right down the frame as we hike.
Not that I know of, no. Maybe they should. But anyway, that was the highlight of our event.
That altercation between the
two women. Yeah. And then that roller coaster was great.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
The cinnamon rolls weren't bad either.
The cinnamon rolls were excellent. Yeah. All right, great. Well, I'm happy that you had a wonderful...
Oh, and Daniel.
Yes, Adam.
I can smith you a really nice poker. You know, like a fireplace poker. A fire poker.
Oh, shit. Wrong button. I meant to hit this one. Hello.
Ding dong. The witch is dead. The wicked witch. The evil witch. Phyllis Schlafly, which every gay person should know, the bigoted Eagle Forum founder, she is dead.
As we like to call her.
This is a happy call.
Ann Coulter 1.0.
This is Brian in New Orleans. Decadence was great. Bye, boys.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Phyllis Schlafly is dead, indeed.
You hate to give $2 for her, though, don't you?
But it's like she's the precursor to Ann Coulter, right? She's like.
So what did you do on the weekend?
So, you know, Adam, I went to the Woods Campground in lovely Lahaina, Pennsylvania, and met up with VJ from VJ Tran.
VJ Netcast?
Yes, from VJ Netcast. I met up with David and Brian from The Occasional Fag, and Brian's husband, Raul, was there. So there's four of those, and myself. I made five, Adam. I made a nice fifth wheel there on that particular group. And no, we went camping at the Woods Campground. As those of you who listen to this show know, I worked on an art project that I put out at the campground, and I did. I made my potato clock Gladys computer in a bird's nest. Here's the thing. I didn't have a setup to actually record myself making it, so now I think if I'm going to make the YouTube video on it, I have to make another one to show how I made it.
So, yeah, I was curious because it really ended up looking like a potato, like pretty realistic in the photos.
Thank
as
you,
far
Adam.
As the potato. And so I was kind of wondering, like, how did you just take a lump of clay and like kind of guess what a potato looks like, and then, you know, and then bake it and then
more
paint
complicated
it, or did you
yes more
mold an actual potato?
I did. That's exactly what I did. I took the now Sculpey, which is the clay that I'm using, is a polymer clay, and it comes in a whole host of colors. Like if you go to your local, you know, craft store, you'll see there's like an entire area of Sculpey clay that's in all different kinds of. So I found a color that was very similar to is like con leche or something. You know, it's like a brown color that was very close to a potato. And I rolled it out really, really thin and then took an actual potato and covered the potato in the Sculpey clay. Now, I only wanted half of a potato because I wanted the inside to be hollow. So I only covered half the potato. So I used the potato as kind of like a mold and then let it dry a little bit and then took it off the potato and then baked it to actually, you know, harden it and to whatever. So and then I had bought some paint to like kind of paint the potato.
So that's only half of a potato that you're.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I
thought maybe you did that, and then you took some more clay and you put inside of there. And
no,
like,
no,
you know.
No. It was okay. It was because I wanted to keep it light, and you know. So it's like I basically made the half a potato, and then I made the little computer piece on it out of some white Sculpey, and then I painted the pieces on it. With some
I think your painting was just a little messy.
Yeah, I agree with you. My painting was very
messy.
Silver. Yes. Yes, it was. And it was my first time working with that substance. It was my first time painting it. It's like, you know, you don't have really but it was all right. For a cute little project, it was fun. You know, I bought the wiring and the screws for it and everything. So I went out to the trails there and I found a lovely home for it. On the trail, so I'm very excited because I'm going back on the 23rd of September. So I'm excited to see if it's still there, you know, that it didn't get like moved or anything.
You should have put like a comment box there.
You know what, my nephew,
said,
yeah,
everyone leave your comments on my potato.
My nephew came up with the best idea, which is to, you know, put a QR code on the backside of it, so if someone picked it up, they could like hit the QR code and it would take it to like a web page where you could sign in to say like, hey, I saw it, you know, like hi, I saw it or something like that. Anyway, so it was really fun. You know, it was. I really am enjoying working with this Sculpey stuff. I like it a lot. I'm trying to think of what else I can do with this. So I was thinking for my next little art project, maybe I would make a Pokeball.
Oh.
And then, you know, like a life-size, like, Pokeball, and then put it out in the woods there. Like, you know, put some little battle damage on it, you know, with the, it looks like it's a worn kind of Pokeball thing. Anyway, no, it was fun. It was great to do. It was like I have all kind of video of me placing the art project and of the other surrounding art projects along the trail, but I don't actually have any video of me making the actual thing. So,
speaking of Pokeballs, Daniel,
yes,
this just came. I just thought of this when you said that. If you want to watch some really cool YouTube videos of someone that is awesome at making cakes,
yeah.
You need to look on YouTube for a channel called How to Cake It.
How to Cake It. Okay.
Fantastic.
Great.
I am like addicted to that. Anyway, go right ahead. Just reminded me of that.
That's great. So I went up there. We had a wonderful weekend. It was great weather the entire weekend long. I will say I ran into my first snafu camping-wise on the... Because we got there Saturday morning, and we were there Saturday. So all day Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday, Sunday night, and then we left Monday afternoon. I ran into my first problem Saturday night that I had not accounted for camping-wise, which is that it got really fucking cold. And I have an air mattress that I'm sleeping on, which, you know, I have sheets and a blanket and stuff like that. But it was, you know, you're on this 18-inch high platform of air and it's cold out. And so it's kind of like sleeping on a cold waterbed, right? It's just kind of like it just makes you even colder. And so I did.
You should have taken an electric blanket with you or something.
I did.
Like
I didn't
that.
Have electricity at this site. But yeah, so I did. The next day I did go to Walmart and buy a sleeping bag that I could put under the sheets so to kind of insulate myself from the mattress.
And saving you money so you can live better, Daniel.
That's what it is, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam, you know, you work for Walmart.
I do, yeah.
Where do you fall on this whole Coca-Cola display made to look like the Twin Towers?
I haven't heard this story. I have not heard this story.
Oh, my God, Adam. How could you have not have heard about this story?
So Walmart made a Coca-Cola display that was to look like the Twin Towers?
Hold on. Let's see. Here we go, Adam.
Coca-Cola and Walmart thought it would be a good idea to use the September 11th 15-year anniversary to try to sell Coca-Cola. Take a look at this despicable display that was set up in a Florida Walmart at the request of Coca-Cola, showing the Twin Towers being made out of cans of Coke with the American flag in the background, also consisting of the different colored cans of Coke, along with this banner that was supplied to Walmart with Coca-Cola's logo in the corner, saying that we will never forget. And then it has the 9/11/2001 date up in the upper right-hand corner.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this thing, Adam. It's called the internet. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, but it kind of has a reputation of people taking things and just going batshit crazy over the slightest little thing. So as you can imagine, there's quite
our stock's probably going to be down on Monday.
There's quite a few of these particular little things. It is
in Walmart's defense. Yes. Okay, first of all, no, that is a tasteless thing. Mm-hmm. They should not have done it. I mean, it is Florida. I mean, come on. But
wait, hold on, Adam. Hold on. Just in.
A Walmart in Panama City Beach, Florida, hosted a sale display with cases of soda shaped like the World Trade Center with an American flag behind it to entice customers to buy the soft drink as the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks approaches this weekend. The display was ridiculed and quickly removed.
You know, it's one thing. I think it was a little tacky to have, you know, three cases for $9.11, but that was, I'm kidding on that.
But I know, I want to, in Walmart's defense, though.
Yes.
Those displays are, Walmart should not have displayed it, but in their defense, the displays are created by the vendor. So Coke came up with the design for that display. When they shipped the product to Walmart, they shipped it with all the instructions on how to build it and all that. That is all done by the vendor.
No, is
transferred to the store.
I'm going to give you that. I'm going to say, okay, that is great. I'm now going to post this photo in the chat room. So here in the chat room, I'm sending you a photo of the actual display that you can click on and see. Oh, wait, no, that one doesn't show it. That was cleverly cropped there. Let me get to the thing. There it is. All right, I'm going to show you a different image, ladies and gentlemen. This is the full image, and I want you to notice... You know, Adam, it's one thing to say Coca-Cola are the bad guys here because they absolutely did that. And I'll agree with you, right, that there was somebody at the Coca-Cola headquarters that decided that it made it past multiple levels of scrutiny, right, for them to put this together and send it out to stores. But here's the thing. Walmart's not entirely off the hook here because if you look at that banner up ahead of it, it has both the Coca-Cola and the Walmart logo on it. And so at least someone at Walmart signed off on that and said, yeah, we're fine with you putting our logo on it. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying Walmart is faultless. I'm just saying when you see those displays at a store, generally the vendor has come up with that. It's called a I can't remember what it's called. It's a fixture. It's a planner. Right. It's a, there's a lot of names for it.
Right. But anyway, by the way, congratulations. Mags in the chat room asked the most pertinent question to any of this, which is, how do they intend to sell that much Coke Zero? Because it really is shit.
I drink Coke Zero. I don't like Diet Coke, but I like Coke Zero. But I know a lot of people don't like it.
But here's the thing. I would be one of those guys that would be like reaching for like the Coke Zero up in the middle part just to make the tower fall over. Or like, an American flag, but I'm just saying, with those twin towers there, like, could you also like do a cross promotional thing where you like had an airplane made out of Pepsi that like is flying into it? And
I think now that would have been a little too. Now, I did see some news story where they were talking about how the Ground Zero has been made into a shopping mall or something. And a lot of people had a problem with that.
Ground Zero is not a shopping mall. It's a museum.
There's something. There's something that I saw something. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I've been there.
I wasn't paying close attention, but
clearly not. Anyway, Adam, so that's what I had a lovely time at the Woods Campground on Labor Day weekend with I learned some stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about. Which I shouldn't even say. I know, not bad things. I mean, I learned like somebody that was there was working on that I met was working on something that they had signed an NDA about, so I can't talk about
it. Oh,
but it's very exciting. And anyway, I had a lovely time and met a lot of lovely people there. I won a round of sex toy bingo. And the highlight of this, Adam, was of course, you know, like after like five. So the sex toy bingo, you basically pay $20 to get your bingo cards. And then, you know, they have multiple rounds. Like, this round is going to be the four corners. This round is going to be, you know, a straight line. This line. And so the round that I won was called the Big Bloody Asshole Round, which is you had to just have the outline, the entire outline, right? So all the way around the outside of the bingo card.
Okay.
Right. Well, and more gross is I had to shout out Big Bloody Asshole, right, when I actually won it. But my prize was that I got to select four sex toys off the table. And the person to my left would get one sex toy, which happened to be VJ that was sitting next to me on the left. So I got to select four sex toys off the table.
All right.
And I mean, they didn't have great sex toys there, but it's like, I think I picked one of those little bullets, one of those little vibrating bullets.
Yeah.
And I picked one of those. I got this 8-inch dildo, which is a big, thick, black dildo, because...
Now why does it have to be black, Daniel?
Well, it doesn't. It just happened to be black. But it's like, I have one similar to that here that a friend of mine was like, oh, I really like that one. Where'd you get it at? And so I was like, oh, well, I can just give him this one because it's new. And so so I got that. What else did I get? Oh, and then they had like these ropes, like bondage ropes. But I was just like more like, oh, these would be really nice clotheslines at camp.
I have some tomatoes I need to tie up. I think I'm doing that indoor hydroponic garden. I think I'll...
And then the fourth thing that I got was another Aneros. So there's an Aneros there that I got. So there you go. So those are my four sex toys. I believe VJ got the squishy tube thing.
Oh, the masturbatory device?
Yeah, the squishy masturbatory device tube thing there.
Yeah, do you remember they used to sell those things at toy stores that were like, it was exactly the same thing?
Oh, no, I can do one better than that, Adam. It was not only did they sell them at toy stores, but drug companies gave them away to doctors. You got to remember, my entire childhood was, you know, all the Rubik's Cubes in my house had drug names on them. All of the, like the drug companies would just give out these toys to doctors that they would take home. So it's like my model train when I was a kid, like had like, you know, Alexa Pro written on the side of it. It was just like, you know, it's like I literally like every toy in my house had some drug name on it because it was given to us free by a drug company. But that was...
I don't even know what those things were called, but I just remember thinking that's to jack off. Why are they giving this to children? This is like a...
Adam, children jack like, off, Adam. That's when people start to jack off.
This is Timmy's first masturbatory device or something.
I think,
you know?
I think Sony should, like, you know, like you had like the My First Walkman and stuff like that. They should have those. They should have like My First Masturbatory.
My First Flesh Jack.
My First
or,
Flesh
you know,
Jack.
Whatever.
Yeah. My First Masturbatory Sleeve.
I think I've even used one of those for that purpose when I was younger. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, as my Badoo says, I bet you think of podcasters every time you use it. Oh, she's talking about RT Cruiser, who he won the Flesh Jack in Vegas. I have a Flesh Jack, but I don't use it.
I had one. It feels good, but it's too much work.
That's my thought,
and
too.
And it's kind of heavy.
Yeah, that's my thought, too. You have to warm it up.
Heavy.
You have to warm it up because you don't want it to be cold. And then, you know, and then once you're done using it, well, then you have to go and you have to clean it and you have to, like, and then let it dry, which means it has to sit out on the counter. And then, like, people come by, what's that? Oh, that's just the
sleeve. It's a flashlight. What are you talking about? It's a...
No, because you pull the sleeve out to let it dry, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's the sleeve from my masturbatory device. Thank you very much.
That is what the inside of my anus looks like. It's a molding, it's a casting that the doctor did when I went for my colonoscopy the other day.
TMI. Adam, let's see. I think that does it for my woods campground experience there. Go ahead. We're pushing here, but go ahead. Tell me about your. One moment, please. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I see Cruiser for the Celebrity Deathbone. Character actor John Polito, dead at 65. Probably most famous for his role in The Big Lebowski. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
And he's famous as well.
Okay, great. So,
I'm not going to have much to say about that because we're running. I think my one story was probably enough. But the only thing I'll say is I also did a lot of shopping over the weekend, and we went to Hobby Lobby, and I know you were talking about how crafty you were being.
Yes.
I have all this space above the kitchen counters. Mm-hmm. For those of you who watched my condo tour, there's like a whole bunch of space. And I wanted to do the LED light thing where you do like the LED up lights.
Right.
But then I got it in my head that I should, you know, because I usually put greenery or something like that up there. And I thought, you know, I used to work at Pier 1 and I did what they call tablescapes, where you do different, you have to have like three different levels and you do all this, you know, stuff for the various seasons. So what I decided was that I'm going to, the LEDs are going to match the season. So I'm going to do like, you know, orangey kind of for the fall and Halloween and Thanksgiving.
And now it's time for tablescapes with Adam Burns.
But I'm going to create like little tablescapes.
I'm Adam Burns. And today I'm going to show you how to make a tablescape. What we need is a little bit of blue clay. We're just going to spread that out. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make a very nice little ocean. A nice, sweet, calm little ocean. And you can take some gray clay, too, and you can make a little fin here, like for a little playful dolphin that might be out in the water.
Now, you sound like that guy on PBS that did the painting.
Now we're going to take some translucent clay, and we're going to make some jellyfish. Jellyfish like to live in the ocean.
All right, Daniel, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it for the various seasons. So the first one I'm going to do, I bought a whole bunch of pumpkins of different sizes and colors and everything, and some of the little hay bales that they sell at Hobby Lobby and some leaves and stuff. Uh-huh. And each one of the little areas in between the cabinets, I'm going to put a little tablescape type thing with pumpkins stacked up and, you know, in multiple levels. And uh-huh. And then I'm going to have that up lighting in a fall color, like an orange color. I'm going to make it kind of a fall scene above my...
Yeah, you're going to make a little tablescape.
Yeah.
A little tablescape, so Adam.
That is what I'm going to be doing. I'm waiting on one thing to come in from Amazon, and then I will be decorating above my cabinets.
Okay, great.
And that's it.
All right, I'm not going to talk about my next thing. I'm just going to go straight into this. Oh, almost prematurely did it. News game. It's time for a news game. It's a news game. What stories will he pick? Ah, it's the news game, Adam. It's the segment of the show where Adam will pick, well, he'll read to me three, count them, three headlines, only one of which is a actual headline. It'll be my job to figure out which is the real headline amongst the fake ones. Adam, what are our headlines today for our news game?
All right, Daniel. Well, today we have three promiscuous titles.
Promiscuous titles, okay.
Not really, but I was trying to think of a good word. So the first one, Durex to produce eggplant-flavored condoms.
What market is that for? Eggplant. You know what I wish? I wish I could taste eggplant when I was sucking his dick.
Egg, Eggplant's kind of bitter. Don't you have to like soak that in buttermilk
it's like,
or something?
Yeah, exactly. Eggplant is one of those things is like you marvel at how anyone ever actually ate one in the first place. Because like once you treat it with like this like de-sterilization process for like 36 hours in your refrigerator, they're good. But it's like up until that point, they're hideous. It's like, you know, well, these things are toxic unless you soak them in buttermilk for 36 hours in your refrigerator. It's like, who was the one that figured that out? That's what I wanted to know.
It's kind of like collard greens. You know, collard greens are poisonous.
They are?
Until you cook them a certain way.
Wow, I've never heard that. I think that's a lie. But go ahead, Adam.
No, it's not. All right, number two. Viral video shows baby delivered inside intact amniotic sac.
What? Read this again. What's yours?
Viral video shows baby delivered inside intact amniotic sac.
Ew! That's gross!
All right. Number three, Daniel. Crazed woman cuts off man's penis for not making eye contact during sex.
Oh, wow. Crazed woman cuts off the man's penis for not making eye contact during sex. All right. Adam, I'm going to say that's the real one. I'm going to say the crazed woman cutting off the penis. Now, Adam, tell me one of the fake headlines.
All right. Durex to produce eggplant flavored condoms.
I knew that. I knew that that one was fake. So now
Although they did tweet a picture of a Durex condom box with an eggplant on it.
I mean, that's just because people use the eggplant emoji as a substitute for dick. Let's see. I'm going to go with... So there, my choices really are this amniotic fluid thing, which sounds gross. And the woman cutting off the penis. No, I'm sticking to my guns, Adam. I say it is that. It is the woman cutting off the penis thing, Adam. What is the correct answer?
Daniel, get ready, my favorite birthday theme song. The correct answer is viral video shows baby delivered inside intact amniotic sac.
Wow.
And I will read you a little bit of this story, Daniel. And the picture and the video is gross. Fewer than 1 in 80,000 pregnancies result in what is called an on-call birth, meaning the newborn is delivered still encased in its amniotic sac, traditionally known as a call. Because normally the sac ruptures and releases amniotic fluid, i.e. when the mother's water breaks, well before birth occurs. And on-call deliveries are rare enough that some obstetricians may never attend one in their entire careers, though not so rare as to prevent multiple videos of such births from going viral on the internet.
Now, do you think that's what happened to Sandy from SpongeBob? Like exactly. That little bubble around her head is just the amniotic sac?
The amniotic sac?
Yeah.
Could be. The example above was shot in Santa Casa de Misericordia de Barretos Hospital, Sao Paulo, Brazil, by a nurse, Giselija Correa, who posted it to YouTube on August 4th, 2016, and on her Facebook page 2 days later. The New York Times provided the translation of her caption, from the original Portuguese.
Wow.
So you guys can look that up, or I might put a link in the chat room in a second. But it is a gross looking, it's a baby inside an amniotic sac. That's what it is.
That's just absolutely gross. But congratulations, Adam, on winning the news game for the, let's just get to this here. Oh, I have to do this. Uh-oh. Why is it so soft? The Dubious Intent birthday segment, a segment of the show where Adam will play a musical theme to somebody's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, we'll figure out whose birthday it is. So, this horrible, horrible intro music.
Well, you know, in the version that you're playing is not the one that you used to do. Or you had edited it and shortened it or something. But anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. Are you ready, Daniel?
You were so... It's not enough that you won and you got your crappy music to play, but now you're just like, oh, that's not even the right one. You should play a different one. Well, I don't time, Adam.
It's fine.
Go ahead.
It's fine. Okay, here we go. Here is our first celebrity.
Now, the baby
birthday.
That was born with the amniotic sac, was that like, did John Travolta, didn't he do a movie of the week about that? John Travolta didn't he do like the boy in the amniotic sac or something like that? And he showed his emotional range.
It was the
range.
Boy in the bubble or something. All right, so here's our first birthday.
Woke up today, I put lipstick on my face.
Is this Ginger Minj?
It is Ginger Minj.
That is so random that I like trying to like going, I know that voice. Is that's Ginger Minj, huh?
I did have one more clip. I'll just play a little bit of this. That is a song by Ginger Minj, but here's a little clip.
And I'm going to do a little makeup tutorial for you. I thought it would be fun to come out here and show you what it's like for us gals on the road who have to go from this to this.
I've seen this video, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a song to play for Ginger Minj too. I don't know if you know this or not, Adam. She was eliminated this week on Drag Race. So this is the song that was going in my head when that happened. It was just like, anyway, go ahead.
So you're not a fan of the Ginger Minj?
Oh, not a fan of Joey Boo. I mean, Ginger Minj at all.
All right. Well, Ginger Minj is 32 years old and looks about 52.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's 32.
All right.
Wink, wink. Yeah, okay.
That's what was listed. Here is our next birthday.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel.
All right, I'm not getting this off this voice.
All right, I have one more, but it's going to be the same voice. Do you want to hear the?
Isn't this that guy Sam Smith or something like that? Is it Sam Smith?
And I've been holding everything inside. But now I've got nothing left to hide.
Okay.
I Believe in You is,
okay.
I think it's a hopeful track, you know?
Stop. The Yaz Mamadou in the chat room has pointed out that this is Michael Bublé. So I will not take credit for it, but is it Michael Bublé?
It is Michael Bublé.
Okay, there you go.
Michael Bublé is, now, he is a relatively well-known jazz singer of our day, kind of like a young Harry Connick Jr., I would say. Who also had a birthday, by the way, but we're not doing him. Happy birthday, Harry Connick. So Michael Bublé is 41 years old. And you didn't know him, but I bet you will know this next person.
Uh-oh.
If you with it,
you with it.
Shake that, shake that.
Late nights, no dress code. She stay fly like Jets go. Don't have no reasons. Ain't got no M.O. See a lifestyle, stay bankroll. But she work like it ain't though. Yeah, she might get ratchet, but she know she bad though.
I have no idea who this is.
All right, well, I have one more clip.
Okay.
All right, one more clip.
Why would I know who this was?
I guarantee you'll know this person.
Oh, what's up, guys? So as you know, I recently got hacked. So I was working all day to get this fixed. He told me he was going to post my number. So I said, go for it. So he did. He did eventually. On my way to Verizon, I was thinking, you know, why take this as such a bad thing? Why not make this into a positive and talk to some of your followers? So I turned around. I drove back home.
This
and
Kingsley?
I'm now filming this video. So I'm going to be answering your guys' calls and FaceTime.
Who did you say?
Kingsley? Is it Kingsley?
It's not Kingsley.
Is it Todrick? I don't know who this is.
It's not. Oh, I'm so surprised. I think you're throwing this one on purpose.
No, I'm not.
This is Cameron Dallas.
Really? He did a song?
He did a song, yeah.
Wow.
And it's Cameron Dallas. I'm shocked, Daniel. I'm shocked. I think you threw it.
I did not. I honestly did not know who that was.
Cameron
Here's
Dallas.
The thing. Had you played the first clip first, I might have picked it up. But it's like the song threw me. He's like, wait, Cameron Dallas doesn't do songs. That's weird.
Cameron Dallas is 22 years old, and he is a well-known YouTube twink celebrity. Anyway, he's 22. So happy birthday, Cameron Dallas. All right, here is our next birthday.
Just like fire, burning up away. If I could light the world up for just one day, watch this madness turn to charade.
I think this is this Katy Perry?
It's not Katy Perry. Oh. Although Katy Perry was on Ellen the other day.
Is this Pink?
Did you get that from the chat room?
I did. I got it from the chat room.
Yas Mamadou is really good. Well, I was going to play. I mean, there were two more that I was going to play, but the one that I have to play when it's Pink's birthday, I have to, is the one from my childhood.
See, I would have gotten that. So I would have gotten that. This party started.
I didn't want to. I want to give it at the very first song. I loved the song. I just have to play it every time. Anyway. All right. Yeah. Pink, who I believe for a short time, maybe 6 months to a year ago, she tried to go by her real name.
Yeah.
And then now she's back to Pink again. But anyway, I can't remember what her real name is, but she went on Ellen and she was using her real name. She also sings the current theme song on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Oh, there you go.
I can't talk.
Ellen, and this is my show.
And she's 37.
Because she's a hoe.
Because everyone is younger than me, apparently. Okay. All right.
Wait, Adam, so you're saying you only date people that are younger than you? Oh, well, then I guess I should just exit stage left.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Oh, my God. That was such a random Finding Prince Charming joke that we just made right there. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this song. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then this is a drag queen. I know my drag queens. This is a... is this Coco Montrese? Is it Coco Montrese?
Daniel, it's not a drag queen. Who sang this song, Daniel?
I believe, Adam, that this is the drag queen, George... I think his boy name is George Gaynor, but he goes by the drag name of Gloria Gaynor. Is that correct?
Well, it's not a drag queen, but it's Gloria Gaynor. Yes,
you don't know that. Is. You don't know that it's not a drag queen named Gloria Gaynor. No, this.
Daniel,
I mean, this song
survive.
Has been done by everyone in a million different ways. Of course, I know this. Is, so, Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah. All right, Gloria Gaynor, who will survive? So she's still alive, right? It's that other woman who died recently.
Yes.
Donna Summer.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Sure.
Died recently.
We'll go with that.
So Gloria Gaynor is 67 years old. All right. Two more birthdays, Daniel. And here is our penultimate birthday.
Penultimate birthday. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. I'm looking at the Cameron Dallas Calvin Klein ad.
Stingray boots. Boots that make a statement. And that statement is... You can't give rednecks money.
All right, stop. So this is one of two people. This is either Jeff Foxworthy or it's Larry the Cable Guy. I'm going to go with Jeff Foxworthy. Is it Jeff Foxworthy?
It is Jeff Foxworthy. You know, and I was so surprised. I really like Jeff Foxworthy. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I enjoy a Jeff Foxworthy joke. But I was looking, and this is from a stand-up show that he did in 2015. That joke that he did was on a comedy album that I was listening to back when I was in high school.
I know. That's my complaint.
I don't think he's written any new material.
Yes. That's my complaint with these kind of guys that do that, right? It's just like they don't ever evolve. They just keep doing the same jokes over and over.
That exact blue stingray boots joke is on the comedy album I used to listen to.
You might be a redneck if...
Anyway. Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy, who is also, I don't know if you knew this, Daniel, but he is the spokesman for the Golden Corral.
I did not know that.
Restaurant
You
chain.
Might be a redneck if you eat...
If your yard...
If you eat your steak...
Is taller than your car.
If you eat your steak at a shitty steakhouse, you might be a redneck. Go to the Golden Corral.
I don't remember all the jokes. I used to know
all
of them.
Have you ever been to the Golden Corral, Adam?
We've eaten there.
So disgusting.
It's got a bunch of sneeze guards and it's a buffet.
So disgusting.
They have anything you could have. I mean, they have Chinese food next to Mexican food, next to prime rib, next to mashed potatoes and pot roast. I mean, you get anything that you want. And the rolls actually are very good.
Oh, yeah, gotta love them rolls.
The big yeast
gotta
rolls.
Love them. You like them rolls.
They're so good.
All right,
anyway,
fine. Go ahead.
Those yeast rolls. Anyway, he's 58. Last birthday. Here we go.
I
this. I just gotta figure out what this is. They used to sing the title of this song with that first piece.
Now I've got another
one.
Yeah,
please, please. I know that. I know I've seen this song. I know I've seen this show before. I just don't. I used to actually sing like, "This is blah, blah." It's like. Oh. I got this one. My name is Bob Newhart, and I have a show where I'm in Vermont. So it's like Bob Newhart. Is it Bob Newhart?
It is Bob Newhart.
This is the Bob Newhart show. What?
Bob Newhart. Yes. First of all, he's still alive, yeah, which is amazing. He's 80s.
Yeah, he's been on the Big Bang Theory as a recurring.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you know he was on the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, he plays,
as recently as 2015.
Yeah, he plays like a Mr. Science. Like he was their favorite science, you know, TV host or whatever.
Yes, so Bob Newhart's 87. Happy birthday, Bob. I loved your original Bob Newhart show. I didn't really like Newhart all that much.
Really?
Although the blonde chick from Newhart was the girl who went on to be in the later series of Designing Women.
Yes.
There you go. So do we have any Pride 48? I don't know. I wanted to give everyone that little tidbit of trivia.
We do, Adam. We do have birthdays for Pride 48. Let me do this first, though, because I can get us out of this. Uh-oh. No, that's not right. We have to do this to get us out of this thing. There we go. All right. Yeah, we do have some birthdays on the old Pride 48 machine over here. We'd like to say a very happy birthday to the GFN General, Dan Hugh Hogan. Also like to say a very happy birthday to Icy Greg. Those are the two birthdays that passed. We had other ones that passed, but I don't know what they were. You know, we have other ones coming up. Anyway, if you'd like to have your birthday listed on the Pride 48 website, make sure you sign up for your free Pride 48 account and click on the little button that says, yes, I'd like to have my birthday listed. I don't like this song. I hate this song.
Bye, Dora.
I don't have a theme song for this, Adam. Now, before we go to our contact segment, I just wanted to play this for you. And this isn't really a tech segment thing, so I'm not going to play the tech segment music. This is just... Did you watch the Commander in Chief thing the other night where they had Trump and Clinton out and asked them questions?
No, I try to stay away from politics.
This really doesn't have to do with politics, but Adam. This has to do with just like general knowledge whatsoever. The question was posed to Donald Trump of what he thought about cyber terrorism in the United States. I want you to hear this answer, Adam.
Build a wall.
Here we go, Adam. Here's his answer to that.
And to stay on ISIS a little bit, because this is an important topic, and it's certainly it's one of the national security threats that our country faces today. You have described at times different components of a strategy: military, cyber, financial, and ideological. Can you just expand on those four a little bit?
Well, that's it. And you know, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a number of years ago, a short number of years ago, wasn't even a word. And now the cyber is so big. And you know, you look at what they're doing with the internet, how they're taking, recruiting people through the internet. And part of it is the psychology, because so many people think they're winning. And you know, there's a whole big thing. Even today's psychology, where CNN came out with a big poll. Their big poll came out today that Trump is winning. It's good psychology, you know.
There you go, Adam. That's your answer to cyber terrorism there.
I don't even know if he knew what he was saying.
Did you follow it? No, and let me break it down for you, Adam.
Cyber is real big.
It's huge, Adam. And you know, it's huge. We didn't even have a word for it years ago. Like years ago when we said cyber sex, we didn't even know what that meant. We didn't have a word for it back then. And now CNN has run a poll.
I tell you what, the cyber says Trump is winning.
That's right, because the cyber says it and it must be true. Oh, it's just so bad. And the sad part is that her answers aren't much better. Anyway, that's all I wanted to do about that, which is go in and we'll just do this now.
3, 2, 1. Moving to Canada. Is the secret, is the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer, is the reason that everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact.
Excellent. It is the contact segment of the show where we read our voluminous emails and play our voicemails that we have accumulated here. Adam.
Yes, Daniel.
We only have one email.
We have an email. Yes, we do, Daniel.
Email comes into us from Casey in Denver. Hi, Casey in Denver, who writes 60527 Raw Pup, 72793 Shake, Rattle, and Roll Plug, 70097 Buzz Bullet. Cheers, Casey in Denver. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Is that
about
his shopping list?
I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't understand any of those things. However, if in some hypothetical universe I was going to rate those, like, you know, like best to worst, had I, you know, for some reason personally tried out all three of those things, I would reverse the order. I would definitely say that, you know, the best was definitely 70097. 72793 was okay. But the 60527 was really kind of disappointing. Very disappointing, Adam. So I'm just saying that would be my...
It's good to know.
That would be my
It's good
my
to
thought.
Know because...
Thank you, Casey in Denver. We really do appreciate you doing the research on that for us. Hey, Adam, that was our one and only email for this week. And no voicemails. People really hate us, don't they?
Well, we got celebrity death phone calls.
But maybe if we had Joe Batanz on the show, they would call. Do you think?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. A couple of things that we need to do before we get...
I did say something to you in the chat.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, I did not.
Okay.
And I don't
even
know what it was going to be. That's fine. Here's the thing. There's a couple of things that we need to talk about really quickly before we end this show. Very important things, Adam. Do you have the Sirius satellite radio?
I have the ability to have it, but I have the antenna and I have the preview channel and everything like that, but I don't pay.
Okay. Well, you know, right. If you are have it, you wouldn't want to do this, Adam, because you're not interested in RuPaul's Drag Race. But if you have the satellite Sirius radio, every Friday, Larry Flick on Entertainment Weekly Radio does a one-on-one with Larry Flick show where he does a recap of the RuPaul Drag Race show. And a very, a good friend to this show, Joe Batanz, is a permanent co-host on that show. So it's like you can hear Joe Batanz on Sirius Satellite Radio every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern on the Larry Flick program on Entertainment Weekly. That's one announcement. The other announcement, if you would like to hear Adam Burns talk about Finding Prince Charming, we did our inaugural show for the Finding Prince Charming recap. You can find it on the RuPaul Drag Race recap feed. So if you go to dragracerecap.com, you will get all the information there. It's not posted as of the time that we're recording this, but by the time this show posts, it will be posted. So dragracerecap.com, you can hear the Finding Prince Charming, the new hit show, Adam.
I'm in the N Club now. I have a show with Daniel and Joe.
And if you ever wanted to know and you ever wanted to find out why I only date short boys, then you should definitely check out the Finding Prince Charming recap show.
They've all got to be 5'11 or below,
right,
or something like that,
right.
I believe.
Short boys. And there you go. So you want to check that out in the Drag Race recap field. And I think that's it. I think those are our big announcements that we needed to make. Is there anything else that we need to cover?
So when there is a website, it's going to be what? Charmingrecap.com. Should I not announce that, actually?
Yeah, because they'll go and buy it before
you
we know.
You want to go buy that right now? That.
We'll tell you later. We don't know. We didn't think we were going to do this show, and then we kind of enjoyed doing it, so maybe we will do it. It really just depends. It's such a bad show. But it's kind of like one of those you can't stop watching it because it's so bad. Anyway, let me say it like this. It is such a bad show. I can't believe that I must watch it. I must now retire and watch it again because it is a great show. That's all that I got to say. I don't know.
And we will be back again next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Will we?
For this
will we, Adam?
Program.
Oh, I think they will have canceled
this. Dubious intent.
They will have canceled this long before then because...
No, I really think, you know, your cats, they were really mad that we didn't do a show last week.
Really?
I mean, I think the way they're sleeping in the background there, I mean, I really think if we don't do another show, Kitty is going to hurt someone.
Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 229-234-7587 or send us an email contact@dubiousintent.com. Can you see? Oh, you can actually see him sleeping in the chair right there, can't you?
I can. There's a white fluff ball sleeping back
there.
That's
buzzing. That is the loud one. Adam, welcome back from your vacation.
No, thank you. Welcome back to you as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
I hope your date went well the other night at Mr. Leather. I guess we'll talk about that next week.
It didn't go very well, but that's all right. We could digress. No, I mean, it's fine.
Was it like Daniel, my dog?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Another situation like that.
Anyway, you know, if you guys want to send us some emails or some voicemails, we like those. You can say hi to us and stuff like that.
Someone doesn't have to die for you to call in. I mean, we're having to, like, kill celebrities to get calls on this show.
Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Hey guys, it's Tom of Tom and Terry in Chicago's calling the dubious intent death phone to report that Gene Wilder passed away. He was 83. It was very funny, and it's very sad news. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, Daniel and Adam. This is Michael Fine, the Good Humor Penguin, calling on the celebrity death phone. Gene Wilder dies at the age of 83. He was the actor who was in Willy Wonka and Young Frankenstein. He was 83 years of age, from Alzheimer's disease. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
There's nothing to it. Gene Wilder, dead. D-E-A, dead. Oh, so sad. He was such a funny guy. He was the real Willy Wonka, not that stupid Johnny Depp. This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler. And by the way, what the hell, Adam? Salmon pancakes with ice cream? I mean, ugh. I know you're living in the South, but surely that breaches a whole heap of international conventions. Gross.
Hi, this is Larry, also known as Q-Fledge. I'm calling the Celebrity Death Zone to let you know that Gene Wilder has died at the age of 83. He's been in a lot of stuff, including, of course, most notably, playing the part of Willy Wonka and a whole lot of other things. But anyways, that's really sad. Y'all have a wonderful day. Bye.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.